Welcome to Fanboy News Network, your guide to geek culture. I'm Jeff Harris.
And I'm Daniel Christensen.
So, hey, you know what? We managed to do 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
We're on a roll. Or
is it a ciabatta? Or is...
I have no idea. I was suddenly going to DuckTales.
Okay, then.
Woo! So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I've got no witticisms other than... boy, I've seen a lot of Infinity War.
Yes, well, there's a lot of Infinity War to be seen.
Really, it's a long movie.
Twice as much by half.
Yeah, the memes have been getting interesting.
The memes have been getting interesting, and coming from someone who has been spoiled, it's getting really interesting to see how people are dancing around that, if at all.
Yeah, and then you've got... actually, you know what? The meme now... is from Spider-Man Homecoming, and it's one of the Captain America PSAs.
Okay.
So, which, we're a podcast. I really can't represent a visual meme well here. So, let's get into, well, we have an episode to do.
Yes,
so
we do.
Let's do it.
Another opening, another shit. Oh, you're giving me that look.
I am giving you that look, yeah. At least you didn't go to your normal standby.
So. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
That one, oh, yes. Yeah. So, anyway, let's get the unfortunate news out of the way.
A series of unfortunate news reports?
Something like that. So, you're familiar with Gamergate?
Unfortunately, yes. There's not been brain bleach enough to remove it.
So now we have Comicgate.
Oh, goody.
Now...
is it about ethics in comic journalism?
No. No, it's much stupider than that. Well, I don't know if much
that's
stupider...
a pretty low bar.
Let's say it's much more around a specific event.
Oh.
So where Gamergate was basically
a dumpster fire
trying to hold back progressive behavior in games.
Yes.
Comicgate is about a specific comic book.
Yeah.
And more specifically, a crowdfunded comic.
Mm-hmm.
That I will not name because screw them, they don't deserve the publicity.
True. If anyone is curious, I'm sure they can just look up Comicgate.
Yeah. And it's a very conservative bent comic.
More conservative than Liberality for All, where Sean Hannity is a cyborg on the run?
Actually, about the same.
Oh, wow.
I almost feel like they took that as inspiration, but decided to do it with all original characters.
For values of original characters, but yes.
And the issue is they did their crowdfunding and then they went and looked for a publisher. The people behind it are all, you know, very much of the Gamergate. You know, if you don't agree with us, we're going to harass you horribly and dox you and all that. We might get hate mail. I don't know if they notice
Woo-hoo!
Us.
Oh, sorry.
And they actually had a small indie press was going to pick them up and publish them.
Because indie presses need the money.
And then I think what happened was some comic stores, including a couple of specific, were like, no, we're not going to carry this book.
Good.
It's a horrible message. It's terrible on a lot of levels. And they... we're starting to do the standard Gamergate playbook of doxing and harassing the store.
Because that's a great way to win people over to your point of view.
And the company was going to publish them went, nope.
Yeah, how about that?
And so now, of course, we are being censored. No, you're dealing with the consequences of your action.
I was going to say, this is the same group of people that make such the big deal about, you know, people should be held accountable for their actions. Guess what, homeboy?
Yeah, so that's going on. I'm hoping it will not have the legs that Gamergate did, but I've also learned not to underestimate stupid people.
The two most common things in the universe are stupidity and hydrogen, and I'm not so sure about hydrogen.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Now, the other thing, since I want to get all of this out of the way, are you familiar with a convention called Origin?
Basically.
So it's... a major game convention.
Mm-hmm.
In the tabletop industry, the Origin Awards, especially for role-playing games, were the big awards ceremony every year.
Okay.
And this year, Origin put out its slate of who would be its featured guests. One of the people on that list was Larry, and I can never pronounce his last name.
Correa.
Or
Mr. Sad Puppy.
Mr. Sad Puppy himself, the man who led the Sad Puppy slate at the Hugos, which we covered at the time it was occurring.
Yes.
So, some people came forward and went, Origin, are you aware of this man's... Did you Google?
Yeah, did you Google?
So, he is no longer a guest.
Well, okay, good.
But, yeah.
You know, it amazes me because, you know, just the other day I was looking around and come to find out Adam Baldwin is still getting work, too. So, you know.
Yeah, his show's on it is got one last season, then it's over. So.
Oh, well, I wasn't even thinking about shows. I was thinking about he's still being advertised as, hey, come see Jane. And it's like, yeah, no. You know, I have this collection of the particular artist that I greatly enjoy. If you're curious, it's from Omakase Images, which is here in Seattle. Great artist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the whole set of the Firefly cast. And I have been slowly, ever so slowly, acquiring all the autographs from all the people. Now, sadly, I was not able to get Shepard Book before he shuffled off this modal coil.
Mm-hmm.
But I also figure that I'm probably not going to give Baldwin money either. So, you know, I'm okay with the fact that it won't be all of them.
Right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, fair enough. And lump him in with Kevin Sorbo at this point.
Yep.
You know, he was on Supergirl last season, but his character died after 3 episodes, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
So, Infinity War is the only movie I've seen in the theater since we last talked, because I went and saw it again.
Again?
There was a lot to unpack.
All right, well.
2.5-hour movie, and there's a lot going on, and I wanted to pay attention to some more things, especially after I'd read about some of the Easter eggs. Again, still not going to spoil the movie, although it's been out long enough, folks. If you're on the internet at all, I don't know how you've avoided it. But the memes, oh, the memes. I don't feel so good. That right there. And to hear that some of the more iconic lines out of that movie were improv'd.
You know, that's a growing thing. I mean, that whole bit about... Thor Ragnarok of, you know, he's a friend from work. You know, there is value in that.
Well, it's actually well established in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The first 2 Iron Man movies, Jon Favreau really favors improv. So he, as long as you kind of stick to the where the scene has to end, he gives great leeway, and Downey is a master of it. And apparently Downey was really coaching Tom Holland fairly extensively on how to, I guess, much as Tony Stark is a mentor to Peter Parker in the MCU, Robert Downey Jr. is a mentor to Tom Holland in real life.
Well, it's interesting because that's twice now that he's acted in that role, because I remember you telling me something similar about the guy whose name I'm blanking.
Pratt. No. Chris Pratt. Wasn't it Chris Pratt?
No, it was...
I think he did. I think he does it for a lot of the younger actors in the Marvel franchise.
Yeah, but I mean, this is quote unquote extended franchise. The guy who's Finn in Star Wars.
Oh, John Boyega.
Yes,
I think I do remember he reached out. Yeah, he's Downey. I think because he's really had the School of Hard Knocks.
He's got a postdoc from School of Hard
Knocks. I think part of his dealing with his past is helping make sure those demons don't catch other young stars.
Yes.
Which really is commendable. And if he's got the emotional bandwidth to do it, more power to him. But the last few lines Tom Holland has in Infinity War were improv'd.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, for most people, there's like, ow, my feelings.
Yeah.
Also, one of the funniest lines in the movie was improv'd by Dave Bautista.
Which is a wonderful thing because he does have so much wonderful shtick as the character from Guardians. So.
Yeah, well, and I'm looking forward to, you know, next month he's got Hotel Artemis coming out.
Oh, he's in that.
He's in that, and I'm like, the cast looks great, and he is a selling point to me. So is Jodie Foster now entering her older woman phase of her, kind of, Jodie Foster is now in the Kathy Bates phase of her career.
That's kind of disturbing, but okay.
Well, okay, here's the thing about Jodie Foster. We're really tangenting tonight, but fine. I mean, she started as a child actor.
Yes.
And she has managed to have a steady career her entire life, thankfully, because there is actual talent.
Well, there's actual talent, and she has a devoted cult following.
Yeah.
But
so she's one of the stars of Hotel Artemis as the woman who runs the facility. So,
oh, well then.
Yeah, it's I'm definitely looking forward to that one. But anyway, Infinity War.
Yes.
So now we're going to slightly tie into our last, well, that was unfortunate, story.
Okay.
There was a showing of Infinity War where at the end of the movie, when the credits started, a man stood up, faced the audience, and said something to the equivalent of, if you were to die today, would you be ready to face the Lord?
Yes.
Which, he was an evangelical preacher, knowing he had a captive audience and he was going to witness to them.
Of course.
The crowd went, oh shit, we're all... Oh, that was our one for the day.
Show.
We're about to die.
Yes.
This man's about to kill us.
Yes.
We're about to become a hashtag.
We're about to become the Aurora movie shooting part two.
Yeah. So panic ensued. People were injured. People were taken to the hospital.
People were jumping off the second, not the balcony, but off the riser. I'm just going to toss this out because I didn't realize we were going to go there. And the thing that crossed my mind, if I were an evangelical, we will not get in to the mathematically improbable number of things that would have to happen to make me into an evangelical. But were I to wake up tomorrow morning and be one, and to know that people's immediate gut reaction to sharing my good news is panic, I think that might be what folks would commonly refer to as a sign.
Well, all right. As much as I'm going to be fair to this Joker, he didn't realize he was going to come off as potential shooter. He was doing the fire and brimstone sermon that he probably does from the pulpit, not realizing the context with which he was doing it, especially after a movie like that.
Yes. Yes. So what we're saying is that he sat through the same 2.5-hour movie that everyone else did, was unfazed by it, and decided that this was the time. Yeah, no, that speaks to a remarkably clueless and uncaring perspective, regardless of whatever message. He could be saying, hey, everybody drive safe, because you never know what will happen, and people might go, okay, weirdo. But the, would you know what's going to happen to you when you're, if you were to die right now? Bye.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that. So,
On that happy note.
So sticking with the idea of movies based on Marvel characters.
Okay, we can go there.
So as we are recording this, we are the day before the premiere of Deadpool 2.
Woohoo!
Which will, of course, have been out by the time listeners are listening to this.
Yes.
So they may be able to answer the question I am about to poise.
All right,
so Deadpool. First movie was a surprise success, at least to the studio.
So
we get this new movie where they're going to up the stakes and the budget, and great. And they are introducing some characters that are very closely tied to the Deadpool character in the comics, that being, well, primarily Cable.
Yes.
And then also Domino.
Yes.
Who also Domino is very strongly tied to Cable. So it's all works out. And
it's not a love triangle.
No. Actually, at one point, Domino was Cable's girlfriend.
I don't even want to think
about
that.
But we're not going to go there. So here's the thing, though. Cable as a character. So now it makes sense because Deadpool was initially introduced as an adversary for Cable when he was in the comic book New Mutants.
Okay.
And so their histories have always been interlocked. So it's a very natural thing to introduce him. But
I see where you're going with it.
With Cable.
With Cable.
I am convinced, as a longtime comic book consumer, that there is a ongoing challenge at Marvel to see if they can make Cable's backstory even more complicated.
Okay, that sounds like a challenge that several people have risen to.
Because it's not even clear who gets credit for creating the character.
Okay.
Because Cable is the character that was created twice.
I was going to say, wasn't he an African-American?
No, you're thinking of another character altogether.
Okay,
you're thinking of Deathlok.
No, another but cyborg go on.
Character. Okay, so Cable.
Cable.
So, depending on how you look at it, Cable was introduced in the comics either in New Mutants 87 in 1990 or in the Uncanny X-Men 201 in 1986.
The fact that you're pulling these things just out of thin air is amazing and inspiring, and wow, you're a nerd.
Most of this, I didn't know the exact date, so I did crib
those and
the numbers, but yeah. Most of this is going to come from my memory.
Okay.
So Cable was introduced into the New Mutants when the editor, Bud Harris, told Louise Simonson and Rob Liefeld, we need a new leader for the team who is nothing like Professor X.
Okay.
And their decision was to create a militaristic character with a more radical and pro-confrontation style.
So, yeah, completely not like Professor X.
And so you get Cable, who is older, grizzled, a cyborg, and somewhat nebulous what makes him a mutant.
Okay.
He's got a cybernetic arm, clearly, a cybernetic eye, clearly, and strange affection for improbably large weaponry and pouches.
And by pouches, I'm assuming you don't mean backpacks.
I mean, he has little pouches all over his costume.
Oh, okay. You do mean backpacks. I thought you were talking about, like, commentary on cod pieces.
No. Okay, no, literal pouches that it's never quite clear what he keeps in them.
Fascinating.
So, this is how Cable was introduced. And early in his run in New Mutants, which eventually was renamed X-Factor in 91, one of the things that was established was some part of Cable's origin involved time travel.
I'll give five. Go ahead.
All right. So you're with me so far.
I'm with you so far, and I think I see where you may be going with this.
Interestingly, in 1986, so a full 4 years before Cable is introduced, in the actual X-Men comic, Scott Summers had gotten married to a woman named Madeline Pryor. Scott Summers being Cyclops.
Right. I was going to say, he married somebody who wasn't Jean Grey?
But part of the reason he was initially attracted to her is she looked surprisingly similar to Jean.
Ah, because that's not creepy.
And they had a son.
Of course they did.
Nathan Charles Christopher Summers.
Wow.
Now, shortly after Nathan's birth, Scott learned that miraculously Jean Grey had come back from the dead and, somewhat out of character for him, just up and left his wife and child and went to New York to find out what was going on, and then with the other original X-Men formed the team X-Factor.
So, it's not technically a swear, so I'm just going to say, wow, dick move, Cyclops. Moving on.
During the run of X-Factor and X-Men, where Madeline became a support character for the X-Men, after her son was kidnapped, it was revealed that Madeline was a clone of Jean Grey created by the villain Mr. Sinister to preserve the genetic line he was trying to create the perfect child to eventually defeat the villain Apocalypse.
The Kwisatz Haderach in...
Sure.
Okay, sure.
All right, with me so far.
Yes.
So, after a storyline I'm not even going to get involved in where Madeline dies and they rescue Nathan. Nathan goes, is taken in by his father and Jean, who his mother was a clone of. And it's revealed that Nathan has telekinetic powers just like Jean.
How about that? but he can open his eyes in public and not scare everyone within 20 yards.
Sure.
Go ahead.
But now, here's where things get weird. Now,
wait a minute. Okay, you had me until that. It got weird 5 minutes ago.
Okay. After Cable has been introduced in New Mutants, there is a storyline in X-Factor that is wrapping up the original X-Factor run where Nathan is kidnapped by cultists who infect him with a thing called the techno-organic virus that will slowly turn his body into metal. But he is still the best hope to defeat Apocalypse. So a woman from 2,000 years in the future called Ascani comes, takes Nathan where she says, we can cure him. Vanishes. So where I'm going with this is Cable is in fact Nathan Christopher Charles Summers.
Now this is your pet theory?
No, this is canon.
Okay, this is canon.
This was eventually revealed in the comics to be the fact Cable cybernetics are simply the techno-organic virus, which he's holding mostly at bay with using his telekinesis at a cellular level, where he was raised in the future by the Ascani to come back in time and defeat Apocalypse.
For those of you playing the home game, I am sitting here looking like a landed fish trying to come up with something besides, what the hell?
But wait.
There's more.
Remember I said that I think writers had a bet, can we make his backstory more convoluted? Because one of the great tragedies of Cable was he was not raised by his parents.
Of course.
He was raised in a despotic future.
Despotic?
By the Ascani clan. So now he is Nathan Charles Christopher Summers' Ascani son. Only it is later revealed that the people who primarily raised him were a couple named Slim and Red Dayspring.
Slim and Red Dayspring.
Who were, in fact, Cyclops and Jean Grey psychically projected in the future and inhabiting artificial bodies. So now he's
You're
Nathan...
You're making my head hurt.
So he is now Nathan Charles Christopher Summers Dayspring Ascani son. So it was years before they ever even dealt with, even after it was common knowledge, dealt with any kind of conversation between Cyclops and Cable about the fact that they are related, much less father and son.
Okay. I'm just going to, I finally been able to, to coax enough of my brain cells out of hiding.
Okay.
To come up with a cogent response to this, to which I can only say anyone out there who considers themselves, who simultaneously considers themselves a comic book fan and turns their nose up at soap operas and telenovelas, y'all got some splaining to do. Because this stuff makes some of the stuff from the telenovelas I remember look like child's play.
Yeah. So, now, of course, like I said, the question... Because, interestingly, a lot of times they credit that Nathan Summers was created by Chris Claremont. Cable was created by Rob Liefeld and Louis Simonson. So who really gets credit for the character?
See, all I was going to say originally was I got $5 if there's time travel involved. I got $5 that Deadpool's his dad. But, you know.
No, Deadpool is, in fact, unrelated.
You sure?
Pretty sure, yeah.
I think it'd be a great little twist, especially in the Deadpool universe.
Well, so here's the question. Now we have... So now that I've laid out this mad... And I haven't even gotten into into Strife, Cable's clone.
Go on.
Who was the major enemy when he first appeared in New Mutants and then X-Factor. He was a clone created... by the by his time displaced pseudo from another timeline sister Rachel Summers, in case anything happened to real Cable because of the techno organic virus, so they'd still have the genetic line to defeat Apocalypse.
Okay, I'm tapping out of this one. Go forth.
So my question is, how much of this do you think will get covered in the Deadpool movie?
You know, I actually, I'll tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
I will bet you. Mm-hmm. Here's what my nickel says. I've got a bright and shiny nickel that says that he will just say something about, oh, that's too much to put in a movie. We'll make it into a bonus feature. And there will be a bonus feature on the DVD that goes into the whole convoluted story, preferably with crayons and action figures to act it out.
I like that. I hope that's what they do now.
Yeah. Marvel, if you're listening, I'm available. Call me.
So, yeah, that's, other than that, I mean...
Other than that.
there's some other looking like there'll be some cute Easter egg characters in Deadpool. I'm looking for... As long as they have the same, you know, heart that they did in the first movie... And play to the characters like they did.
I am
all there. It's just going to be really interesting to see how much of the we won't even get into the convoluted history of Cable and Domino.
You know, I think convoluted history, while a comic book stand by, since when? Let's put it this way: since when has Deadpool shown any consideration towards comic convention?
True. And you know, also this was so 90s. Mm-hmm. It hurts.
Yes.
Also, Rob Liefeld, a man who can't draw feet and has no understanding of how humans are proportioned or how anatomy fits together
or how things, the range of motion on most limbs.
Yeah, he's infamous since they're covering that era right now on the wonderful podcast, Jan Miles Explain the X-Men.
Yay.
They've stated that if you're watching a Rob Liefeld book, no one walks anywhere. They leap.
Of course.
Aggressively, with speed lines. Other than that, I mean, we've got the Solo movie coming out.
Oh, yes. I'm very much... I think it has happened since last time we recorded. Mm-hmm. I just personally want to know.
Right.
There's one of the trailers out there where it cuts to Don Glover and he's saying, Captain Lando Calrissian. I want to know how many times, for how long, that man had to practice saying that without squeeing like the fanboy that he is.
So here's the thing. We're talking about Donald Glover.
Yes.
Who today's big Solo revelation was the director saying... Well, of course Lando Calrissian is pansexual.
Awesome.
Which I'm sure was a decision probably made by Donald.
Yeah, as well.
But did you hear about Donald's recent appearance on Saturday Night Live?
I didn't hear about that, but I've seen the This Is America several times.
So basically, the top three trends on Twitter the next day were all related to his appearance on Saturday Night Live.
Well then.
Including people going... Donald Glover, so what can't he do?
Not much. Drive safely through L.A.
Everyone said this was one of the best episodes of the year, largely because the man is, you know, almost offensively a talented man.
Yes.
He's so good at what he does. And I think a lot of that's just, he's A, huge talent, and B, just willing to go there.
Yep.
And as I think This Is America... shows, he's like, also just no fear.
Yep.
I'm just, here I am. Get ready.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for those of you playing the home game and have not seen it, This Is America is a music video by his alter ego, Childish Gambino, in which he spends 4 minutes running around the screen with no shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, I mean, the man is good looking. The man is a healthy shape. However, he's not Chris Hemsworth.
No, but it is saying something important.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's Donald. Again, we're very much in the, you could just make a Lando movie.
Yeah.
I'd pay money
for
a Lando. I'm hearing, I've seen teases of Kenobi, but I cannot tell if those are at all legitimate or if it's just, you know, fan creations trying to say, no, really, we want this movie.
You know, if Star Wars is anything, it happens in threes. So we know that there will be a third extra movie.
Yeah.
Third Star Wars story. to go along with Rogue One and with Solo. Although it does make you wonder if there's going to be a one in there somewhere. Because if there's Rogue One and Solo, that means...
Would there be a
one in there?
Ah, that's true.
Obi-Wan? Oh, sorry. Oh,
maybe. Or something singular.
Yeah, exactly. Singularity.
Yeah.
Hey, come on. You took me 5 minutes through Cable's genealogy. I can at least make one bad pun.
You're allowed. I've put you through a lot tonight.
Yes. So, as a matter of fact.
I've put you through a lot over the last 16 years.
And yet I keep showing up. So is it friendship? Is it Stockholm Syndrome? You be the judge. Speaking of movies in theaters.
All right.
I will toss out that I finally got to see Isle of Dogs, the latest Wes Anderson film.
Okay.
I greatly enjoyed it. It was wonderfully wistful. The one thing that I will add is... the internet entertainment, whatever you want to call it, the Honest Trailers people, they do a lovely, lovely send up of all Wes Anderson films. And it is well worth it if you have seen any single Wes Anderson movie, watch this trailer and then think about what you've seen and then go watch Isle of Dogs, because it is spot on. The way that they skewer this man.
I mean, Life Aquatic is really...
Well, my main introduction was through Grand Budapest Hotel.
Right.
And Moonrise Kingdom. And it's one of those things where they just perfectly hit the notes of the notes that he loves to hit in his movies. So.
Fair enough. So, well, we're on movies.
Yes.
But not movie, any specific movie.
Okay.
I've mentioned that right now for my movie enjoyment, I have a subscription to MoviePass.
Yes, while it is still alive and, well, I won't say above water because it's...
Yeah, it's... Because I use MoviePass, I also follow a lot of the news about MoviePass. And anyone who... we've talked about it on the podcast before. MoviePass is a subscription service where you can go to a movie theater... And for $10 a month, you get a subscription that you can go to one movie a day at the $9.95 level, which I'm at. They now have a $7.95 level, which limits you to 4 movies a month.
Hey, that's not a bad thing, but it's still a loss leader.
Yeah.
But...
And MoviePass, yeah, is been... Their goal has been to try, I suppose, the gym membership. Methodology, which is that people will pay for a gym membership even if they don't actually go to the gym.
Right.
But that has not been the case. There have been interesting shenanigans. So one is people sharing a movie pass.
Yeah.
Now, given that means you also have to share the app, but it is possible. But also people binging, you know, it's like, I love Black Panther. I'm going to watch Black Panther once a day using my movie pass. And also other interesting things. The one I heard, so my sister Jillian and Jennifer Lovely of Don't Read the Latin and Rias Hall of Don't Read the Latin and many, many of my friends recently attended Bat's Day at Disneyland.
Yes.
I did not go this year because I have other things. It just precluded. By the way, congratulations to Jennifer Lovely and her handsome boyfriend, Jim, who is now handsome fiancé, Jim.
Yay!
They got engaged at Disneyland.
Aw.
At the Haunted Mansion.
Obviously.
With collusion from the staff who let them get in by themselves. He got to do it in the foyer. And then they got a private ride on the Haunted Mansion.
Aw.
Run at half speed.
Aw.
So very...
Did they turn off the security cameras? Oh, sorry.
But the reason I bring up Disneyland with MoviePass is one thing I learned is, so parking at Disneyland is expensive.
We've already used our one expletive for this episode, so I will simply say no.
But you know, you can, if you do certain things at Downtown Disney, you can get your parking validated.
Yeah.
Like see a movie.
Ah.
So people were using their MoviePass to buy a movie ticket to get their parking validated, then not going to the movie.
Ah.
So there was some stuff to stop. So part of the what they're doing now, one of the things that all MoviePass has now, regardless of your subscription level, is you can only see a particular movie once on the MoviePass.
Okay.
So I have seen both Infinity War and Black Panther on my MoviePass.
Yes.
I cannot use it for those two movies again.
Fair enough.
I can still use it for Solo and Deadpool because I haven't seen those yet.
Right.
So a reasonable limitation. Also, to me, since I still have the movie a day option, that means, all right, well, I'm going to go see these movies. You know what? I still haven't seen A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
You know, I still haven't seen Ready Player One.
Yeah.
You know, if those are still in the theater, sure, let's use it for that.
Sure.
Memorial Day weekend's coming up.
There you go.
But one of the more interesting articles I read about MoviePass discussed that, should MoviePass die?
With love and respect, it's not should. It will be when.
The question is, what does the industry do then? Because MoviePass has changed how people watch film. And right now, everyone's like, oh, we're having a great box office year. Yeah, because a lot of people can actually afford to go to the movies right now because they have MoviePass.
How about that?
And this means that there is a question of, will theater chains, or will somebody try and do something MoviePass-like to address the fact that once that's gone, people are going to get picky about their movies again?
Well, that's a good point. And I mean, because you can only get so far on the loyalty members of, you know, you get a point for every dollar you spend. So that means for every time you go to the movies, there's 75 points. But it gets up there. I mean, yeah. The last time when my wife and I went to see Isle of Dogs, I mean, $30 to get in the door, because mm-hmm. we went to the place that has the nice recliner seats, and another $20 worth of stuff at the concession stand. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, it adds up.
Yeah. So this is the question the industry is already beginning to grapple with. And again, this was the issue that a lot of people had with MoviePass, was your model's not sustainable, and we're actually worried about what happens when you die.
Well, you know what? The thing of it is, it will evolve. There will be something.
Yeah.
It's just obviously not going to be the same thing, and it's not going to be the same much of a deal. Because, I mean, hell, look at Netflix over the years. People, mm-hmm. once upon a time, didn't think that was going to be all that viable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fast forward a couple years, and you have those dusty red envelopes that have been sitting on your counter for however many weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they've turned into more streaming, and look at the content that they're putting out.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we will see what the next level, and there are other streaming services.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the war now, is the streaming service wars.
Yeah.
Which we will see how those, I could go on. We could have a whole episode about streaming service stuff. We might do that in a future episode.
You can do that. I think I hear my mother calling.
I'm not doing it today though. So, we will see. I as a MoviePass user, obviously, I will be keeping a close eye on this. And until then, I will certainly be... Right now, while the membership works, it certainly pays for itself.
Indeed.
And I will be enjoying it over the next couple weeks with movies coming out. Now, on TV, and again, we are recording this on a Thursday. It will come out on a Monday, which means what I'm about to talk about that's coming up will have happened.
Okay.
But this Friday is the season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. Go ahead.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been picked up for next season.
Okay, good.
Now, what they have said very clearly is, the end of this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will coincide with the end of Avengers Infinity War.
Oh.
They've already had, in the previous episode, mentioned that Thanos' ship has landed in New York.
Okay.
While they are not dealing with that directly, they are dealing with other aliens that have come to Earth because they want to pick clean what they can before Thanos is done.
Okay. Kind of like how Daredevil didn't show up in...
Yeah.
Because he was busy chasing after the guy who kicked the bodega cat in Hell's Kitchen. So, yeah.
So, obviously, if you're spoiled for Infinity Wars, you have an idea how this episode might end.
I got a 50-50 guess.
You're a bad man. You deserved going through the cable thing now. I don't feel bad about it anymore. But when the next season of Agent... So next season will be a half season. It'll be 13 episodes.
Okay.
And will not premiere until the summer.
It's a half season? Go on.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is when it will premiere will be after the next Avengers movie has come out.
Interesting.
So, in other words, we'll know the resolution to the Infinity War cliffhanger.
So it's kind of a book. It's kind of a bookend.
A little bit. Well, what they're doing is that means they don't have to fill in any weird gaps until Avengers comes out.
Uh-huh.
They're just waiting until it's out, and then all right, and now here's our rest of our story.
I'm flashing back to something that I said last episode. The mouse is many things. The mouse is not dumb.
In the name of the mouse, thou shalt be entertained.
And indeed.
It's interesting because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is one of the shows that survived the cancellation bloodbath.
They've got the luck of Coulson. It is arguably immortal.
I think Disney corporate is telling ABC, no, you can't cancel this show.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we know it's not a ratings winner, but it ties into Marvel, and can't cancel this show.
It allows us to plant a few seeds here and there.
Yeah. What's sad? Okay, so have you followed a lot of the cancellation news?
Not in the least.
All right. So, as I said, it's been a bloodbath, and there are shows that have been canceled. Where it's like, oh, that's a shame. And there are shows that have been saved that I'm like, what? This was your decision? What? So, I think the most interesting cancellation story was Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, talking about Back from the Dead, yeah.
Yeah, they canceled it, and then a day later, NBC said, nope, we're taking it.
Because there was a great wailing and a gnashing of teeth.
Yeah, and I think NBC said, well, there's ratings right there. We'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
And we earn a lot of goodwill in the process.
Yep.
So, I would not be surprised to see them pair it with, like, The Good Place.
Well, I'm just giggling from the perspective of, I'm flashing back to Gallivant, where episode one of season two was Suck It, Cancellation Bear.
Yeah.
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 The shows that I love that didn't survive, the big one was Lucifer.
Yeah.
They are canceling Lucifer and it's ending on a cliffhanger, and it's like, no, you jerks.
Yep.
And then they announce, but we're renewing Gotham for a final season to finish the storyline. It's like, wait a minute, you had a choice between Lucifer and Gotham, and you're keeping Gotham.
You wonder what sort of Faustian bargain got made there.
Well, and especially with Disney potentially buying Fox, which apparently isn't as done a deal as we thought.
Well.
You'll have a Batman show showing on a Disney affiliate.
Let's not think too deeply on this.
Yeah. So that hurt, and... You know, a lot of the other cancels, the other one that hurt was The Expanse.
See, you know, there is still the holdout there. I mean, because, yes, there are things that have been near and dear to our hearts that have gone away after a single season. Cough, 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 Serenity. No, we're not still bitter a decade and a half later. But at the same time, there are things like Farscape and Babylon 5, where they actually do manage to survive a leap.
And yeah,
it's jumping the...
Or what? Find a way to at least finish the story.
Exactly.
I'm kind of holding out hope that since one of the streaming services coming up is a DC Universe streaming service.
Oh, really?
And technically, Lucifer is a DC property.
Oh, yeah. It's Dark Horse, isn't it?
It's Vertigo.
Vertigo, my bad.
Yeah, that they might at least finish up the story on the streaming service, which I would find acceptable.
Oh, yeah.
It is... Lucifer is the show that has, of the shows that are canceled and look to remain canceled, garnered the most support of no, really, save our show.
Yeah.
Gotham, well, we all know the great Gotham hate watch intervention I had.
Yes.
So,
And yet we're still talking about it. So.
It's a comic book show. It's still out there. It's crazy. I learned something interesting. So they've introduced the Joker finally into the show.
Okay.
But apparently due to rules being handed down them by the Warner Brothers film department, can never actually call him the Joker on screen. And he can have pale skin, but he can't have fully green hair.
Okay. Sorry, just hang a lampshade on it. I'm flashing back to Deadpool 1 where he shows up at Xavier's School for Gifted and Talented Children, yeah. And there's no one there.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, that one, but they made a great joke out of it.
Exactly.
It's like we couldn't afford more X-Men. So, that's there. And then you look at what's coming up. Oh, I will say this. Mostly I'm glad that we're getting more seasons of a lot of the CW superhero shows. Very excited about new Black Lightning, because that's been one of the gems of the season. I do think they could put a fork in Green Arrow at any time.
Yes, especially after the amount of foot that Steve Amell has managed to put in his mouth in the last few months.
But. It's really weird because I'm not sure what's going on because before this he was pretty good. I wonder if it's because he's now involved in wrestling.
He could be involved in wrestling. He may have just stopped giving one.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, this happens every year. Shows live, shows die. We wail about them, we love them, we lament them, and then we see what happens next.
Exactly.
And then we look forward to what actors will do coming up in their careers. I will say that there is one show so far in the new season that I'm somewhat interested in, even though I have a feeling it's going to be another pseudo-Lost that won't have legs, called Manifest.
Okay.
Have you heard? You probably haven't heard. So the premise
is me looking over the top of my glasses.
So the premise is airplane.
Okay.
And a flight from point A to point B. And one of the central characters, he and his family, due to an overbooking, have to be put on different flights.
Like all the different members of
They're like half on one flight, half on the other, including his twin children. So the daughter goes with his parents and his son comes with him.
Okay.
And they had a flight and they hit a bad patch of turbulence.
Uh-huh.
But then it clears up, which, you know, if you've ever been in bad turbulence, that happens. And everyone on the flight says, well, that was bad turbulence.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of scary. Well, but let's get to the...
Motor on.
They land and all of a sudden their plane is surrounded by aid vehicles. As they are informed... Your airplane vanished 5 years ago.
Interesting.
And so his twin children are no longer the same age, for one thing.
Okay.
And, of course, other people on the airplane have other stories going on. You know, things like his son was dying of leukemia. Well, it turns out one of the other people on the airplane was a leukemia doctor who had been spearheading a trial that in the 5 years since she vanished, her colleagues... perfected, accredited to her, but they perfected that is the perfect treatment for his son.
Interesting.
Things, but it's basically, it's again, the weird Lost test. What happened and what other weird things are happening to us from this phenomena besides the fact we jumped forward in time 5 years?
Well, and you've got the separated twins thing, which is always a fun little trope to trot out.
Yeah. So, it is the one that's least the premise looks, I'll give it a couple episodes. Now, I have learned to be careful because, again, there are several shows where I looked at it and went, well, I'm going to hate that show, and they turned out to be favorites. I initially didn't watch Lucifer because I was like, please.
Surprise!
Once Upon a Time was that way for me. It's like, oh, there's no way this can be good. Why am I still watching this show?
Yeah.
Why am I? And it's not Hate Watch. I'm actually enjoying this. Uh-huh. What is my life? So I've learned to be careful about. But it's like, I'll give it a couple episodes, and if it's bad, I'll stop.
For Once Upon a Time, you'll just let it go.
Very good. Part of the reason I bring Once Upon a Time, one of the leads from Once Upon a Time is the lead on Manifest.
Awesome.
Who also was Fendril in the first Thor movie.
Well, then,
yeah.
It is a small town after all.
It is. It really is. I, So, in comic books, I mean, we already covered Unfortunate News in comics.
At length. Well, there's that one too, but yeah.
But the thing that's going on now is there is rumors that DC wants to do another reboot.
You know, once every decade is one thing. This is how many in how many years?
The last time they reset things was, I want to say 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
With the rebirth. Well, and it comes back to the same thing. One of the big plot lines right now is Batman is getting married.
Mazel tov.
So, apparently with the reboot, they want to get rid of the marriages again. Batman, Superman's there. Because apparently we just can't handle... Well, what it gets back to is this thing of, well, we don't want the comic books to get too far away what the characters look like in other media. Yet in other media, they dictate, well, you can't do this with the characters because...
See, meanwhile, I'm imagining this mashup between Bruce Wayne, "Where's my bat suit?" And the wife saying, "Where are you going out?" And he's like, "It's for the greater good." Yeah. She's like, "What are you talking about, the greater good? I'm your wife. I'm the best good you'll ever have."
That could be funny, but you know who he's marrying.
Who?
Catwoman.
Of course. Which one?
Selena Kyle.
No, I'm saying, are we talking the Michelle Pfeiffer version? Are we talking the Anne Hathaway version? Are we talking the Halle Berry version?
The comic book version, none of the above.
Aww.
None of the above. They've created a much more interesting version of Catwoman in the comics than has ever appeared on film.
Low bar. But yes, going on.
So, and it's always been this thing that, because there have been alternate timelines where it always comes down to the person that ultimately is the love of Batman's life is Catwoman.
Of course.
There was even a TV series based around that called Birds of Prey.
Ah.
So.
I remember that.
Yeah. Anyway. So, other than, the thing is this news about the reboot came out and then one of the publishers had to come forward. No, we're not planning that. It's like, you know, you said that before, Jim.
Yep.
You lied. In fact, you lie to us all the time. So forgive me if I'm not trusting you.
Yes. Dubious fans are dubious.
Although the other thing, because Infinity War came out, I have, thanks to my Marvel Unlimited subscription, am rereading the original Infinity Gauntlet.
Ah.
So I said, yeah, let's go back. I mean, and I'm once again going, this is very 90s, because that's when it came out. Sorry, I think it may have been late 80s. But the point is...
I blame Reagan.
Sure. That the end of the movie Infinity War was an event that happened near the end of issue one of a 7-part series. Or more, I don't remember.
Well,
I'm just reading through.
Kevin Feige, if you're listening, please don't make this into 7 movies.
No. So I'm holding out hope that... I'm right now going, okay, so what elements from the rest of the series do I think they might keep? Because first off, Thanos' motivation in the movie is much less dumb than his motivation in the comic.
Okay.
Because his motivation in the comics is he is literally romantically in love with the personification of death.
We all were in the 90s. I blame
not
Neil
that.
Gaiman.
This is before Sandman. Not that death. But you're not wrong.
Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say.
So
was also Lady Death around the same time frame. So you know.
And interestingly, they call her Mistress Death in this comic.
Okay. Well.
And yeah, a lot of his goal is to win her over.
Because that's not creepy as hell.
Oh, it's very problematic.
I mean, this is the same era that gave us how romantic it is for John Cusack to be standing outside his girlfriend's window playing their favorite song until she talks to him. So, I mean, you know, things have changed a little bit in the intervening 30 years.
So again, part of how they deal with things in the comic deals with that motivation versus the movie Yet you understand where he was coming from with his point of view. Doesn't mean he was right, because neither was Killmonger, but you understand where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, in in the movie, he's just simply much less of a jerk.
Hey,
yeah, and that's,
nice change.
Yeah, it's probably helps they hired Josh Brolin.
Well, there's that.
You know, I'll say that. But so yeah, I'm doing that just as kind of an interesting exercise of reminding myself. But it is also a really stark reminder of, yeah, this was that era of comics.
Yep.
It really was.
Yes, it was.
Okay, and back then this was groundbreaking stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah, but which it was, and it is a reminder of those kind of things before stuff like this became, oh, we're doing this again.
Yep.
And again.
It's the story that I always love and trot out again and again about the kid at WotC who was forced to read the Lord of the Rings and came back with saying, what, it's got a stereotypical grumpy old wizard, it's got a fet elf, it's got a grumpy dwarf with an axe.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of these days I am going to get a bunch of the old WotC guys together and we're going to do a WotC reunion podcast.
As well you should.
Because when you were gone once, one of my guest hosts was one of the Rich Redmond from those days.
Nice.
I
should leave again sometime? Is that what you're telling me?
We'll see what happens.
Well, if this is episode 67, I think I'll be taking a break in about 3.
Yeah, that's true. If you follow your pattern.
Yes.
So the other thing, so I was having a thought. Ooh. Speaking of us and our podcasting modus operandi.
Oh, my. We're bringing out the big words now.
And it dawned on me, so right now, we are part of a community of podcasters.
Yes.
That includes Don't Read the Latin,
mm-hmm.
The villain edit that Rias Hall does with Monty Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Monty Ashley is also part of the Incomparable Radio Theater. Handsome Fiancé Jim does his Star Wars Armada podcast. We have a new podcast, Night Library, hosted by Jillian Venters and Rias Hall.
That
they take trashy horror novels and read them. And then go over them in the.
So we're talking like what's his name did with the Left Behind series only with Schlocky Bad Horror.
Schlocky Bad Horror.
Awesome.
And it dawned on me, you know what? I've had this idea for a podcast I want to do sometime, and maybe you and I'll do it. And yes, and I'm not talking about Family Skeletons.
I was gonna say, don't make me scold.
But I was thinking, I would like to do a periodic commentary track podcast. Where we watch something and provide a commentary track for it as the podcast.
Okay.
And I was thinking like particular episodes of TV shows to keep it reasonable length or movies no longer than an hour and a half.
So now to be sure, are we talking commentary or are we talking MST3K?
I am talking commentary.
Okay.
With maybe a little snark thrown in. It is us we're talking about.
Well, yes.
But no, I'm not talking about us, you know, Jeff and Daniel do riff tracks.
Okay.
I am talking, we provide a commentary track discussing what we're watching.
All right.
With a semi-critical eye and the such.
Okay. We'll see what we can put
it's
together.
It's an idea. I put it forth. We will see. And that's the kind of thing that we might be able to Shanghai other people into. That means we'd have to figure out a setup for doing it.
Yeah.
But
we're smart people. We can figure this out.
We are smart people, and you know we are not afraid of technology.
Well, most of us aren't.
So, with that, I think we've come to you're making a sign like you want to say one more thing.
I have one thing that I'm going to toss out there simply because I found it last night and I thought of you.
Uh-oh.
No, this is a good thing.
You know, you've said that before.
Hear me out. Hear me out.
I'm here. Okay.
You are a fan of noir.
I am.
You are a fan of surreal.
Yes, I think anyone who's listened to this podcast will know that.
I don't know how you feel specifically about conspiracy noir. If that's a niche that is,
I can give or take.
I mean, from the perspective of like, you know, or for example, what's his name?
Neil Stephenson?
No. Pause. The really racist guy from Rhode Island that wrote all the crazy stuff about Cthulhu.
H.P. Lovecraft.
H.P. Lovecraft. No, I'm talking about like the H.P. Lovecraft sort of weird.
Well, I mean, I'm a fan of Lovecraft. I've actually read Lovecraft.
Yes, well.
I just talked about it, I actually read it.
Yeah, well, and lived to tell the tale. But I just came across a book last night. It's called The Obama Inheritance. And it is semi-Lovecraftian conspiracy noir, as one would imagine a la Fox News. So the crazy out there, and come to find out, it's real.
You deserved the cable history. I didn't. You had it coming. I didn't know at the time you had it coming. But you had it coming. You had it coming.
I only had myself to blame.
We are not reenacting Chicago right now. We have had friends that have sung that song to us way too often.
Hey,
at the drop of anything, hat, whatever.
At the change of the direction of the breeze. And frankly, after 15 years, I can finally listen to it again and not twitch. So, you know. On that happy note. Yeah. If you have any questions or you would like to drop us a line.
Go ahead. You've heard it enough times. See if you can do it.
Feel free to visit us at fanboynewsnetwork.com and leave a message in the comments. In the meantime.
One of us might be back at least.
If not, look for me under the floorboards.
And until then, talk to you all later.
Have a good one, y'all.
This program is produced by Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network and is copyright 2018 to Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network. All rights are reserved, including rights to copy and redistribute this program. All music in this podcast comes from the Footage Firm and is used under a royalty-free license.